This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with NewsWest for Sunday the 27th of September 2020. In NewsWest this week, we are welcoming new amateurs with information, experiences and advice for the newcomer to the hobby. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the NewsWest producer, and the team this week is Jeff, VK6FJLM, Mike, VK6KMS, Roy, VK6XV and Dan, VK6NAD, with a guest appearance from Andrew, VK6AS, on behalf of Ham College. It's a busy program today, so let's get into it. Here's Jeff.
There are 214 licensed F-calls in VK6, which is about 15% of the total amateur radio operators in Western Australia. Hello, shortwave listeners, and those new to the exciting hobby of amateur radio. Are you a shortwave listener thinking about joining the ranks of AR, or have you recently passed your foundation call? For some folk, the thought of becoming an amateur can be daunting at best, and for others, it's a natural progression from the earlier citizen band radio days, or because they are technically minded. From experience, some of you will take to the hobby like a duck to water, whilst others may dip their toe in the water before realising the hobby isn't for them. My philosophy is to look at the reason you want to become an amateur, a deep dive of one's inner self to determine if it's right for you. Is it because radio is a passion and you love talking to others? Perhaps you're a budding antenna or radio engineer and want to hear the fruits of your labour. Or maybe it's just because you know some hams and you didn't want to get left out. Even if you're an old-time CB'er or have never keyed up a microphone, the thought of getting it wrong can feel overwhelming, thinking that the ham radio critics will crucify me if I stuff up. Have you thought, as I did, before taking the plunge and getting my license, the dreaded fear signs like, do I say my call sign first or last? I can't remember. What if I don't know what to talk about? Oh, the amateur radio protocols, I won't remember them. My antenna and radio are too inferior, or I don't know anyone on air. There are several reasons behind me lasting 2 years on air, so here are some of my tips for becoming a new amateur and staying on air. If you have a shortwave radio, listen to the bands. 80 metres always has a local or two chatting, with 3.605 lower sideband a favourite to listen to hams, and you will note the etiquette used. It's not really that scary, and in fact can be a lot of fun. The 2 metre repeater frequencies will just about always have someone talking, so again, listen, and you'll be surprised how quickly you pick up the street smarts of how amateurs talk. And you might even hear a topic that is a passion or hobby of yours. That can be a great icebreaker, talking about something in common on your first plunge of the PTT. Don't be afraid of getting it wrong, as most hams are actually nice people, and in most cases, will tend to guide you in the right direction rather than scold you for stuffing up. Keep it simple. Announce yourself and let the operator know you're new to the hobby. Maybe let them know a bit about yourself and why you got into the hobby. You might be pleasantly surprised by where the conversation goes. As you're listening, write down the call signs and names, as it can be a blur at times trying to remember all those letters, and before long, you will know the person's call sign and name just by hearing their voice. Trust me, as that was my biggest concern, and even today I occasionally get it wrong. But no one is perfect, and it's no big deal. Be yourself, as it is a hobby, not a test, and hobbies are meant to be about enjoyment and fun. In my case, I was a duck in water. So why was I one of the lucky ones to last more than a few transmissions on the airwaves? Well, my passion for tinkering and building antennas was my key, and the love of voice contact over radio, not knowing who will receive your signal. The friendship and camaraderie amongst total strangers who share a common interest, and yes, I now consider them some of my mates. So, if you are thinking of becoming an amateur radio operator, or are a newly licensed operator, you will hear the phrase, go on, make some noise, and this is the signal for you to key that microphone. We all started where you are right now, so we know the trepidation and anxiety that can occur before that first contact, but once you do, I think you'll be hooked. 73s.
Have you experienced the joys of working portable? Some may disagree with coupling the word joy with working portable, But there you go. Let's look at what portable means before we go on. The Oxford Dictionary defines portable as able to be easily carried or moved, especially because of being of a lighter and smaller version than usual. In amateur radio, portable means sort of the same things, but there's a wider context. Portable in amateur radio means operating your station anywhere that's not the station address that you have registered with the licensing authority. And you might wander around with a handheld radio or empty out your shack and take everything. Having got that out of the way, let's take a look at portable operation of your amateur radio station. Firstly, if you enjoy camping, well, you're halfway there. But portable doesn't necessarily imply camping. You may simply set up in a park or a patch of bush somewhere for a few hours, or even from your car. Before anything else, let's look at what you need to work portable. Let's assume we're talking HF. However, much of what we discuss here will also apply to VHF and up. Firstly, and most obviously, you need a transceiver. That almost goes without saying, really, doesn't it? And for the purpose of this exercise, let's break transceivers down into two types. Those that can work directly from a 12-volt battery, and those that must plug into 240 volts, meaning that they are a cable hardwired into them that plugs into a 240-volt socket. The 240 volts radios need a 240 volt supply, a generator, or a 240 volt supply to the portable location. Nothing more to say there, really. Operating on 12 volts means something connected to a battery, either the one in the car or a separate battery. You'll need a means of charging the battery. Simplest way is to run the car for a while every hour or so, depending on use. Alternatively, you can keep the battery topped up with solar panels or a portable generator. Be careful of inverter generators, as some create substantial QRM. You could also use the generator to run a power supply to keep the radio going. Right, so we have a radio glowing in the corner. However, something else is needed, isn't it? Yeah, you guessed it. Antennas. Portable antennas are in a tin of worms, with so many options to choose from. If you're setting out to work a single band, make a dipole for that band, string it up into a tree, and off you go. You could do the same setting up in a vertical using a squid pole or similar. If you set out to operate a single band, you might be disappointed. What you really need is to be able to operate on several bands. You could carry several antennas. However, it makes more sense to use one antenna that works on several bands. Multiband wire antennas include a doublet, G5RV, and linked dipole, long wire, and others. Look them up. All fairly easy to make as well. Using wire antennas assumes that you have a skyhook available to hoist the antenna as high as you can off the ground. For this, most people sling a light rope over a tree. A fishing rod works well. Some people use an arborist throw bag, a bow and arrow, pneumatic spud guns, etc., and so on. Nearly everyone has a fishing rod, so start practicing. And don't forget the antenna tuner, one suited to the type of antenna and feed line you'll be using. That's the hardware you need. And for yourself, you need a table, chair, some form of shelter, a means of logging, be it pen, paper, or software, on a tablet or laptop, or a thumbnail dipped in tar. That's your choice. However, if you're working a contest, you'd be streets ahead using the proper logging software on a laptop. You can keep the laptop battery charged using a small inverter running off the portable 12-volt supply if you don't have access to 240 volts. I hope I haven't scared you off. I've really only outlined the bare necessities for working portable, and you may be able to think of other essentials like caravan, a fridge full of bevvies, and the cook serving up your meals, and the barista. Good luck with your portable operations.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
When you were a kid and your parents took you to somewhere like the markets and gave you a couple of dollars to spend, with all the possible options to spend it on, how did you go? Welcome to New Hams, the series for newcomers to the hobby. I remember going as a kid to the Royal Show, having saved up my pocket money, with 30 shillings in my pocket. On that much money, you had to be careful about what you spent and what you spent it on, because you had a finite amount of money. Many of us are faced with the same issue when we get into the hobby of amateur radio. A few years ago, after we got a batch of young people through their foundation license assessments, the parents of one of the kids asked how much money this new hobby would cost. I replied, "How much money do you have?" I wasn't being sarcastic, I was pointing out to them that our hobby, amateur radio, will absorb every last dollar that you're prepared to put into it. There's always something bigger, better, newer than what you have. For some people, they flex their curiosity by trying out different bits of equipment, especially the new stuff. I guess it's like eating. Many of us can afford to have more food available than we actually need. The trick is to learn when you've had sufficient and leave some food in the cupboard for the next meal. When you work that one out, I'd appreciate a few tips. For the beginner amateur, you have to learn to equip yourself within your budget. There are some who prefer to equip themselves with older equipment, not only to save money, but because they like tinkering and refurbishing the gear. Joining an amateur radio club is a good idea when you're new to the hobby, because by doing so, you've begun networking. You'll be in touch with people who can advise you, loan you equipment, or even give or sell it to you. I wish you good luck as you embark on your new hobby.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've promoted the Portable Operations Challenge, and now it's caught up with us, because it's on next weekend. One of the reasons we've taken up promotion of this new contesting concept is that it's positioned directly in the right space for newcomers to contesting and to the hobby. Of course, it's not exclusively for newcomers, because anyone can enter. However, it's ideally suited to someone who is new to the hobby and to someone who is new to or enjoys portable operations. Portable operations can take many forms. If you've got radio gear installed in your car, it may mean parking in a convenience spot and working from there. If you are into slinging wire antennas up into trees or erecting squid pole contraptions, this contest is for you. An interesting and attractive aspect of this contest is that it rewards portable stations, and it rewards using lower power levels. So that's why this contest has received so much of our time and effort. It's a contest that you can enter and do well in using simple portable gear. And as we said last week, it's the school holidays, so take the family on a camping trip. VK Contest Logger supports this contest, so make sure you download the latest version. Read up on the Portable Operations Challenge at the website foxmikehotel.com.
Rob, VK6 Lima Delta, said during the week that the All-Star server hosting the VK6 and VK6 Southwest hubs, operated by John, VK6 RX, has unfortunately failed and will be offline for 1 to 2 weeks. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. In the meantime, the backup VK6 Southwest hub, All-Star Node 51077, will fill the gap. Meanwhile, current All-Star node owners that connected to any of the VK6 hubs, please adjust your nodes to connect to 51077.
The Oceana DX Single Sideband Contest is on next weekend. Are you planning to take part? The OCDX is a full-blown international contest, and with propagation coming up with some little surprises, it could prove interesting. If you feel inclined to have a go, just do it and give it your best shot. You can work from your QTH or portable. It's all up to you. Seasoned contesters will be using the logging software of their choice. And if you're one of the rest of us, you can also use VK Contest Logger, which is free to download and has all the rules built in. It would pay you to read up on the contest at the website oceanadxcontest.com to help you decide which category you will enter, and have a look around the rules and other information. The address again is oceanadxcontest.com, or just use a search engine for Oceana DX Contest.
Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridors Radio Group, or the Bunbury Radio Group, or the Peel Amateur Radio Group, and getting a foundation license, or better. To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained, upgraded, or renewed their license in the last month. Well, there's only one turned up this month, and that was Jeff. And his new call sign is VK6 Golf Charlie Charlie. Congratulations, Jeff. And I do note that this fits the new template for call signs, where you can have any three-letter call sign that you want for whatever grade of license. So perhaps that's the first one in WA. I don't know.
This is News West from VK6 ARN.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6 NAD. Well, I'm a self-confessed tinkerer. So when several pieces of satellite gear fell into my lap, did I say, no, I'll just use a turnstile or a Lindenblad egg beater or disc cone or just the vertical on my roof like everyone else? No, that would be too easy, and thus the adventure begins. Now, why would I want to assemble a set of satellite beams along with a rotator, elevator and controller plus the computer interface? Well, it fell into my lap, so why not? Reason number two, looks cool. Three, the young bloke is interested, so it might get him involved in AR. Oop, that should have been reason number one. Reason number four, it's a technical challenge. Five, improved horizon operation. Number six, looks cool. See number two, I'm a geek. So, we've established the motive. Now, what bits do I have to play with? Through the generosity of others, plus getting to them before they hit the Verge collection, I have a rotator and a bit, an elevator, controllers still in cardboard box, two cool-looking circular beam antennas, and a bit of mounting hardware. Simple. Should take an afternoon. Not. Well, this story starts with the tale of one and a bit rotators, plus an elevator. Assembled, everything looked fantastic. But then, when power was applied, one indicated position and hummed loudly with no movement. The other didn't either. Thankfully, these were not my first rotators to pull apart, though I always forget how it's done till I'm doing it. Problem with first rotator was a lack of grease. In fact, the bearings were so rusted, they'd formed a solid ring. Now, if you search for new rotator bearings, it turns out Statewide Bearings in Kewdale has no problems in selling them over the counter, though the gent did look a little shocked when I asked him for 100 loose ones. That rotor, in fact, sprang back to life with some grease, a little bit of motor lubrication, manipulation, hit it with a hammer, but it rattled and clanged and wasn't what you would call a precision instrument, best saved for a less accurate job. So, the bit was another rotator, but it didn't belong to the controller. Seems not to matter in this case. It matched up, but it had other issues. This one had too much grease. It had all gone sticky. So, lots of elbow grease later cleaned up and ran smooth. Best of all, I squirted WD-40 under the lid of the potentiometer, and the feedback started to run smoothly. The elevator was really simple in comparison. Seriously, if you have a broken one, open it up and have a look. The issue was just dried up grease and a broken potentiometer. Now, the potentiometer, in layman's terms, which is me, is just a volume knob that reports the rotator's position back to the controller by varying the resistance, which makes the controller needle move. A long story short, you can buy these potentiometers and could possibly even replace them with a 500 ohm one in my case. I found one similar at Element 14, though you've got to be careful to make sure there's no end stops and that it has the right degrees of rotation. It turned out I was in too much of a hurry to do that, so I popped the back off, drilled out the centre rivet and dismantled it. Well, the centre wiper was broken, but it soldered back together okay. I cleaned it, I tapped it, put a new screw in to replace the rivet, and put it back together. Yeah, okay, it wasn't really that simple, but the end result is it runs really smooth. Now, to test the antennas. Nah, you can wait for the next installment when I talk to the ISS. Well, actually, I suspect I could do that now with a handheld. I've got to build a 2-metre antenna next. It turns out that both the circular ones are 70 cms. That's enough gear babble for now. Please, if you have an adventure with something new or old or an experience that you'd like to share, then please record it and send it in. Then you don't have to listen to me and my exploits. 73, this is VK6NAD.
At News West, we encourage you, whether individuals or clubs, to write and record your own news items for inclusion in News West. It's not a hard thing to do, really. The hardest part is deciding to actually do it. To help you make the decision to make the recording, let's tell you some trade secrets. Firstly, and this is very important, we rarely get it right on the first go. Sometimes we fluke it, but mostly we trip over our words, splutter, and lose our way. The end result that you hear on air is the result of repeated efforts and editing, so don't let the stumble stop you from having a go. We ask that you record in the highest quality that your recording device offers. If you're using software such as Audacity or something similar, you could help by setting it to record at 4,420 bitrate, 256 kilobit quality, output in an MP3 mono format. Otherwise, send us whatever your device or software can deliver. You don't need expensive, complex equipment to do a reasonable job, and people are getting good results recording on a smartphone. You will get greatly improved sound quality by avoiding, minimizing, or eliminating background noise, rather than recording the noise along with your audio and then trying to process it out. Being a radio amateur, you ought to know a little bit about obtaining good results with decent voice amplitude in order to drive the radio effectively. It's very similar with voice recordings. You need to drive the mic without overdoing it. And finally, if you're using audio editing software, please don't process the living daylights out of your audio. Every time you run a process, a bit is shaved off the audio quality. If you need to perform noise reduction, only do it once, and do it after you've set the amplitude or are using compression. If you're not confident or don't have the software to edit your recording, send us the raw recording and we'll edit out all the ums and ahs and the bloopers for you. And we promise not to laugh too much at all your bloopers. Thanks for listening, and please do have a go. As amateurs, talking into a microphone should be stock of trade for you, and all you need to do is to dig up a story to tell us.
It doesn't take newcomers to the hobby long to realise that what we hear coming out of our radios isn't limited to what other amateurs are transmitting. Without any other amateurs being on air, your radio will detect noise of various types and dutifully send it to your speakers via an audio amplifier so that you can hear it in glorious lo-fi. The unwanted noises that you hear are so common in radio life that they have names. They are a thing. There are two Q codes used to give a name to this noise, and these relate to the source of the noise. These are QRN and QRM. That's QR November, QR Mike. The original Q codes have specific meanings. QR Mike was used when a question means, "Are you experiencing interference?" And QR November is asking, "Are the atmospherics strong?" In regular usage these days, QRN, that's QR November, applies to noise or interference from natural sources, and QRM, QR Mike, refers to noise or interference from man-made sources. It's useful for you to understand these two Q codes and to understand the difference, because they are commonly used on air, especially when discussing or describing signal strength and quality. The other Q code that goes hand in glove with these two and signal reports is QSB, that's QS Bravo, which refers to the signal fade. You'll do well to remember these and any others that you may hear in QSOs on air. There you go, another Q code already. Something else that newcomers to the bands need to understand is the band plan. The band plan is a map of the amateur radio bands with our allocated bands carved up for various purposes and modes. The band plans are devised by agreement and are there to help us use the band harmoniously without stomping all over each other. The band plans aren't enforceable by law unless you go outside the allocated bands. They rely on voluntary compliance by amateurs. Sometimes you'll hear people calling CQ in voice mode on a segment of the band that's reserved for, say, a digital mode. Now, they won't get arrested for it, however. They may notice the futility of their efforts because most people are aware of the band plans and don't look in that spot for voice calls. Similarly, if you're using, say, slow scan TV, it'd be pointless to transmit or monitor anywhere on the bands except for the nominated frequency. It would be a lonely exercise, wouldn't it? So make sure that you have a copy of the band plan pinned up on your shack wall or have quick access to an online version to avoid wasting your time on air and possibly affecting fellow band users with QRM. Band plans can be found on the WIA website and the Radio Amateur Society of Australia websites. Now, a while ago, we spent a bit of time sorting out RTTY. For some reason or other, everyone else got it right, but mine still has its knickers in a twist, mostly because I haven't put the time into finding out what I've done wrong. But anyway, There's an international Ritty contest on this weekend, and hopefully I'll have time to at least tweak the RX side of my Ritty setup. And you can too, because it will be running all day today, West Australian time. A recent announcement from Adrian, VK6 X-Ray Alpha Mike. Adrian says he's commenced a trial with a 2-metre slow scan TV analog repeater, which will be on air during the day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The limited hours are because the site is solar powered. A slow scan TV repeater serves to test your system's audio levels, timings, and image quality. To activate the repeater, an access tone of 1750 Hz, 1750 Hz, must be transmitted for a couple of seconds to start the receiver. The MMSSTV program has this tone built in, and there's a button right next to the TX button. A CW ident will follow in response, indicating that it has been a successful trigger and that the repeater is listening for your transmission. Now send a picture, and it will be repeated once the transmission finishes. Any analog mode can be used. Note that auto slant correction has not been enabled. Every 10 minutes the repeater will beacon, showing a collage of the last 4 images received, providing the repeater has not been triggered by a transmission. The slow scan TV repeater is on 145.625 MHz, and the mode is FM. Did you get that? 145.625 MHz, FM. Give it a go. A few people have, and it's worked quite well.
Amateur radio clubs play an important part in maintaining and growing the hobby. It's in clubs that newcomers learn how to kickstart their hobby, where amateurs get together to share information, build stuff, and participate in activities. People outside of clubs, especially newcomers to the hobby, are looking for ways to meet other amateurs and to learn new stuff. The News West cycle of weekly themes includes a club focus episode, where the program is handed over to the clubs to promote, brag, educate, and include the amateur community. There's a couple of reasons for this. Your club benefits from promoting its existence and what it does. Other clubs and individuals benefit from hearing about your activities and your sharing of what's been going on. This is the deal. We here at News West are prepared to hand over 100% of the program time, that's the full 30 minutes, to clubs in the Club Focus edition. You feed News West with audio recordings and text, and we'll glue it all together. You give us 30 minutes worth, that's what goes to air. You give us 5 minutes worth, and we'll fill it up with something else. So it's over to you. For Club Focus next weekend, please get your items to us by noon Friday. Send it as an email attachment to newswest@vk6.net.
Are you an SWL, or do you know an SWL who wants to enter the hobby? Are you wanting to improve your privileges and levels of responsibilities? If so, Ham College is running an assessment day on Saturday the 31st of October at their rooms in the Linwood Scout Hall, that's inside the Whaleback Golf Course in Parkwood. The session will of course not only be compliant with the current WA government COVID regulations, but also the rules enforced by the Australian Maritime College as part of the University of Tasmania. Compliance with all of this means that we need a lead time of almost a month, and so the closing date for acceptance of entries for assessments has to be the 2nd of October. So you'll need to plan ahead, and not just do things at the last minute as many of us do, unfortunately. We're running the standard and advanced course with the required social distancing and other sanitary precautions, of course. But the college has decided that the mode of delivery of our traditional foundation course weekends doesn't lend itself to compliance with the rules. And so, despite ill-informed criticism from some expert amateur epidemiologists, our courses are in abeyance. But there is a full course available on the Ham College website and much other web-based material. If you want help, just ask by expressing an interest at hamcollege.org.au. If you're distant from Perth, we can offer remote assessments, and there's no need to avail yourself of assessors from the eastern states, as we have several Level 3 assessors in VK6. Oh, and yes, we try to respond quickly, but it appears that in some quarters that the word college suggests that we're a TAFE equivalent with full-time paid staff. We aren't. We're just volunteer hobbyists like you, who volunteer a significant amount of time and effort to encourage people into and to improve themselves in our wonderful pastime. On behalf of the college, this is Andrew, VK6 Alpha Sierra, the college enrolments officer. That address again, hamcollege.org.au.
Greetings, listeners. Amateur Radio Helpline for the 27th of September 2020. Unfortunately, this week I don't have new items for you, but if you would like any items in next week's broadcast, please contact me and I will endeavour to help you out wherever I can. The email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com is the only address. And thank you once again. And happy Queen's Birthday long weekend. I hope the weather is fine where you are. Cheers, 7-3.
Clubs, you're next up, because next week is the Club Focused Edition, and it's your turn to shine. The usual stuff. I need it by Friday lunchtime. Send it to newswest@vk6.net. If you're not sure how to put together a club news or promo item, drop us an email to newswest@vk6.net and I can talk you through it. Thanks to the team and the broadcasters and the callback counters. Every bit helps. Although we have a weekly theme, they aren't set in concrete, and if something is newsworthy, send it in anyway and we'll fit it in. That's enough from me. Please hang around for the callbacks. Did you know that Western Australia is punching above its weight when it comes to callbacks after the news? Well, we are. Keep it up, folks. If only we got sponsorship based on callbacks, I could double my pay. While you're thinking about doubling my pay, get out there, on air, and make some noise.